You understand? So good.
Well, you know, this discussion here about the issue of what was carried by the station and that sort of thing. Some people here are saying that you are correct, that she said she never said it for a fact. A hint is not a fact. So this is what one person says. They're suggesting that because of what was said on the newscast, people rushed to the supermarket. So they are suggesting to us, and as you are, that it is our handling of the matter on the evening in question that created the rush, as distinct from how people interpreted what the Prime Minister said. I stand by the view that it is difficult for me to come to the conclusion that listening to one newscast on Starcom Network News would constitute enough of a situation to spur the whole of this country to react the way that it did. Because on that given day, it would have been reported not only by us, but whoever else, all the other media houses had the opportunity
That's not so.
All the other media houses had the opportunity to report on it. You can't tell me that ain't so. They had the opportunity. All right? Far from that, in addition to that, all of these news conferences are online. You can go and get this information on demand. So let's leave it there. I have my view. You have yours. And other people have theirs. I stand by my position. You stand by yours. We can't all agree. All right? And this person says they're very disappointed in my sensitivity on this matter in particular. What's to be disappointed about? You know, it's an interpretation one way or the other. Somebody says it was implied. A hint is not supposed to be taken as gospel. You know, I say to you on the basis of how it was put across, people believed that it was coming. And I think most people that I came into contact with told me that that's how they saw it. I don't know that all of them listened to Starcom Network News on the occasion to come to that conclusion. Sensitivity? I don't know. If I appear sensitive, well, I suppose at the end of the day, I may be a bit more sensitive to the fact that I may feel that we are perhaps being unfairly criticized in this context. But then again, you know, we're only human. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Hi.
Down to Brass Tacks.
Miss Ellis.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, good morning, Miss Ellis.
Yes, morning.
Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you.
Yes. With regards to the alphabet system, I'll have to agree with the stocks man in that, with the point he made. Huh? The Prime Minister, actually, what she said was, we are looking at that. Those were her words. They're looking at it. There's nothing concrete. So he's correct in saying what he said. Now, also, I'm very glad, let me add, that they were only looking at it and it wasn't implemented, because I find it creates a panic in the country. I don't think I didn't even think when we had it the first time it was necessary. It only created more hardship. And you still had, I think, it looked to me like it had more lines than when it's just the ordinary, you know, people can just go at will and shop whenever they please. It seems to me it was working better that way. With regard to the reimbursing the visitors, I would strongly like to register my objection to that. I think offering a free return ticket to visitors is going a bit too far. I even think the amount of apologies that you're hearing every time, especially in the last instant. I mean, the last press conference. It was like almost every 2 sentences you were saying apologize. I mean, this is a pandemic. I mean, this isn't things. I mean, isn't business as usual? What do you expect? I am waiting to see. I don't think there's any other country that's going to do that. How can you? The onus is on the traveler. They should know before they leave their homeland that there's a pandemic and there's a possibility that they could even catch the COVID and be in isolation, okay, for 14 days or how many days. So how could you be offering to reimburse them? The next thing you might want to do is, well, if they come to Barbados and because the Harrison Cave closed and the Flora Forest closed and all the different sites closed, you want to reimburse them for that too, because they didn't get to see the Harrison Cave. I mean, you got to draw the line. I don't know. It seems that the government is awash of money. I would expect now some reduction in taxes or something, because it seems like they have found some source of money, like you find oil or something, because they want to reimburse for everything. What? And I haven't heard anything with regards to our citizens, to the frontline workers, to the ones that are being underpaid, to the ones that are not being, not getting a hazard allowance. Look at things like that. Don't look to treat the visitors like they're gold, and the citizens of the country are left out. I mean, this is troubling to me. Yeah, and I want to strongly register my objection to that idea of reimbursing or offering visitors a round trip ticket because they didn't get to see or visit, you know, places of interest that they came to see. I think that is really going a bit too far. So you have a good day and enjoy the rest of your program.
All right, thank you very much. This is down to Brass Tacks. Hello. You're on the air. Hello.
Hello. Good morning.
Yes. Good morning.
Yes. No. I appreciate all that the Trinidadian woman has said. I think she can say much better than I could ever do. But I also understand that she would have a political bias, and I am prepared to ignore that. But frankly, my premise goes beyond that. I believe that we have to stick to what the reason is for having this in the first place. And that reason is, at least has to be given to us, was to find a way so as to have this virus not overrun our medical facilities. That was the reason that was given from day one. That was the reason that was given by any medical person that has come on this program or was on CBC. None of them have ever claimed that it was a deadly virus. We just have to make sure we can protect the resources that we have at the hospital. And that was the logic behind all of this. Now, the thing is, with that logic in mind, you have to compare the benefits of what has been done over the past 9 months as opposed to what the disadvantages of having not taken the measures that were taken, what benefits would have been had. Just compare the two. Before I could anyway get close to that, the whole concept of reporting data, for argument's sake, because apparently you're told how the information is supposed to be reported. You're given the format. You're supposed to tell the public how many cases tested positive, how many cases, they tell you, you know, who was man and woman and that kind of thing. They tell you how many cases recovered, and then they're telling you how many people died. And that's what those are the basic things you're supposed to tell. And to my way of thinking, that in no way reflects the premise, you know, information that was supposed to in somehow suggest that the reason for the premise is being, you know, is being followed. If I have, for argument's sake, 800 cases testing positive, and I'm trying to show that I'm protecting the resources at the hospital, you would need to know of those 800 cases, how many people were sick enough to require the facilities, the use of the facilities. Were there 20? Were there 40? Were there none at all? What the reporting says is that of those 800 people who tested positive, less than half, it's normally less than half, there's about 300 people, 380 people recovered. Now, when something is reported like that, your first inclination or the public's first inclination would be to say, of the 800 people tested, they were all sick, and only 300 of them recovered. That is how that is formatted. What it really is saying, and more than likely saying, is that there were 800 people who were tested, and only 380 got sick. That means 400 and somebody didn't even sneeze. So only 300 and something, less than half of the numbers got sick, or at least presented in a manner that it could be considered sick. And then what should have been required of the people who are making decisions about protecting the hospital is, of that number, how many were sick enough to determine that, you know, that the hospital, you know, was adequate or not to facilitate this thing? Because at the end of it, you are supposed to be protecting the resources of the hospital. The information is not given that. It's not saying that the hospital is adequate or it is not. Because you're not even being told who are actually being admitted to the hospital, who are actually being seriously ill. If I go and I sneeze twice because I have this thing, it means that I am sick. If I have things in my bronchial, my throat, and I have to cough, and I have a little temperature and stuff, I may not seek the service. I will just stop home as I would for any cold or any flu. I would not need the hospital. I believe that perhaps of those numbers, maybe 20 would need the hospital. Which is not really, that's a very big number, to be honest with you. Maybe it's only two. But the point is that the information needs to be had, certainly for the public, because you're asking the public to shut down and go on curfew. And you're asking them to do all these things because you're trying to protect the same hospital, but yet you're not giving the information. You're not giving them the information that says the numbers are high. Yeah, we are doing the right thing. You're not even giving that information that people could determine for themselves whether or not the government is doing the right thing or not. It's not only in Barbados, it's happening throughout. You're giving fair tactic information. Now, here's the thing. We are supposed to be, this is part two. We are supposed to be protecting the resources of the hospital. That is the primary objective, not because it's a deadly virus, because it is not. People will say, oh, you go in the water, you die of, you're drunk in the water. Nobody will say that, you know, water is a deadly substance. So the numbers are not high enough. The percentages are not high enough to make this virus a deadly virus. No doctor will tell you that. No one has ever said that. So we are protecting the resources of the hospital. How are you doing? Protecting resources and building the port, it's a very expensive thing. But somehow you're able now to find resources, find money, even import equipment to support and buttress the testing aspect of things. Now, I don't get this. Because if you can find resources, if you can find money, if the Chinese are prepared to give you something mobile, you should be saying to these people, I don't care about tech. I want to make sure that my population and the ability to deliver health care is available. So any resources that I can get will go towards the health care. If you want to give me a bus, you want to give me a mobile something, make it some kind of mobile unit where people can have breathing equipment or some kind of surgical or, you know, mobile surgical unit or something. That is what you call putting money or putting resources to support the primary objective, which is delivery of health care. But no, the testing seems to be the big deal. I don't get this. So first of all, the information that's being brought to the public does not in any way give information as to whether or not the objective is being met, which is like the provision, the protecting of the health care mechanism. And now you're putting money and resources behind a concept which was even known last year when this thing first came about, and that is testing. And what makes things even worse is because of...
Can I just say to you that
you'll do it anyway.
Everything has to be looked at in context. The reason why testing becomes an urgent issue right now and you need the assistance is because the system seems to be under pressure. We have far more people being tested, and there is every possibility that that could increase. And if you don't do something about it, then this is going to create the objective conditions for the greater spread of this disease. So I can understand why the government is seeking assistance in that regard. I think it is urgent.
Okay, can I respond to you?
Yes,
of course. When you test, the only result will be information. All you're doing is acquiring statistics. It doesn't help anybody get better. It doesn't help in the spread of anything, nor does it even prevent anybody from coming through
but
the door.
Sir,
testing
with all,
is a mechanism to gain information.
Respects, once you test, you don't test and do nothing more. Once you test, it is what you do with the information.
Okay.
And that means you follow up because you determine who is positive and who is not.
Well, yeah, but all that sounds good, and that sounds good to speak about. But if you follow up, requires hello.
Let's get serious about this.
If you follow up, it means that you are using resources again. What? Hello.
I'm here.
Oh, good. I am saying to you, if you have resources and money to spend, spend it to protect the population. Do not spend it in ways that are perfect.
And I am saying to you that in the current circumstances, it is my interpretation, if not yours, that it is being spent to protect the population.
No, but it is not. Because quite frankly, if you know that there is spread, if you know that, okay, the gate is open, the best that you can do now is to make sure that your facilities can respond. Making sure that your facilities can get more information is not a response, basically. That is not even part of a dynamic process. All it does is collect information and give people the impression that you have the ability to respond.
Sir.
It's not really a response.
If you have money to spend,
put it in the hospital.
Thank you very much. Let's move on. Thank you. Down to brass tacks.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. It's 11:16.
Yes, please. Good morning. I call in about to make a comment. Now, I went on the 4th of January and get a test done. Today is the 11th, and I haven't got a result as yet. They came on the TV and said, you know, that it will get a results back by yesterday. This is 7 days now away home from work, and I can't get no pay. I got bills to pay. And then they're talking about paying for tourists to come back and for rooms and things. So what happened with the Belgians that ain't working and home waiting for results? We're not counted.
So you're waiting for COVID-19 results?
Yes, please, from the 4th.
And this is part of the big problem. And that's why, as I was saying to the previous caller, testing is so urgent and creating an environment where you can test and get the results back to people is absolutely essential, because in the absence of the tests, here you are in limbo for all of this time. Can't work, can't do, can't go anywhere.
Right. I called my boss yesterday and told him he's supposed to get back the results. He said, okay, but no, I can't call you and say, well, I ain't get the cause. This is madness.
But I'm really sorry to hear this. 7 days is a long time. You know, and in the meantime, you're completely quarantined. You're completely isolated from other people in your home.
Yeah, it's only my one at home.
It's only you.
Yeah.
Okay. But you could find yourself with a situation where there are people who are waiting as long as you are, but they are in homes where there may be a number of other people with them, and that is dangerous, you know. Suppose the results come back positive, then, you know, more people, the longer we wait for these results, the more possibility there is for other people to be infected.
True. So
I'm really concerned about it. It is clear to all and sundry that, you know, this is a classic situation of what happens with COVID. The only other thing worse than this would be if, you know, people get ill and too many people get ill and the facilities, the hospital can't deal with it. But the testing situation here has shown you what can happen. And all of these people who have been using the airwaves and going online and giving the impression that the COVID is nothing to worry about, it ain't killing too many people and that sort of thing, they lose sight of the other implications.
Yes,
you know,
people not going bills to pay, rent to pay, and a home. I can't go work until they get results. And the government talk about paying for tourists and things. So what happened with the people that working and waiting on results? So we don't count to the government?
There's no doubt about it. The decision to reimburse tourists and to offer them tickets to come back to Barbados is highly controversial. There are a lot of people who are not in favor of it. And there's so much criticism of it that I wait to hear how the Minister of Tourism responds to all that has been said.
Okay,
ma'am. Thank you very much for calling and drawing this to our attention. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Yes, good morning.
Yes, good morning. Hi. You on the air?
Yes. Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
I want to say, first of all, that if you don't test, you wouldn't know who has the virus. Therefore,
yeah,
it's spreading from person to person. I didn't really call to talk about that, but hearing that caller say that, it sounded crazy to me. Now, this thing about
you mean the gentleman who spoke before the last
caller? The gentleman, yes, not that one, the lady. But then having this thing about under control, it's only under control when it actually is. You can't say it's under control if not all the test results are back. When all the results are back, then you have it under control. That is why I was thinking it would have been safer to close the country down, not indefinitely, for 2 weeks or so, just to get our cases under control. Because you can't have it in the community, or the other term that you're using for it, and people keep passing it from one to the next. For instance, if big public places like the credit union and banks and those places where a lot of people frequent, you needed to get those under control so that they wouldn't go from one person to the next.
The point that you make is valid, because if you are having problems getting results back to people and there is this bunching of tests and that sort of thing, it really inhibits your ability to assess the magnitude of the problem.
Quite so.
That's what it does. And in those circumstances, there are those who will suggest that you're playing Russian roulette.
Mm-hmm. It really has to be under control before you come out and say it's under control, because clearly it is not. The other thing is about reimbursing travelers. I've been traveling for years. I hope that I could keep saying that in the present and not in the past. But I do not see why you would need to reimburse a traveler. Number one, you travel in a pandemic. Number two, under any circumstances you're traveling, you travel with excess money because you do not know what emergency will come about, whether it be weather or sickness or whatever. That is your responsibility to have enough to keep you while you're not in your own country. Nobody needs to be reimbursed. And as the other caller said, cut out the apologies. They left home knowing it was a pandemic, so they knew anything could have happened. And the thing about the person with the wedding, if you're having a wedding during a pandemic, anything is likely. You don't owe her another wedding. So it's just very ridiculous to hear all of this. I don't have COVID, just clearing my throat. But it's just ridiculous to hear all
of this. Have you been tested?
No, but I wasn't in contact with anybody that have it. What's the sense of being tested if you're not getting back results? Anyhow, but the don't reimburse travelers. Find out who in Barbados actually has it. These little clusters you're hearing about. One minute you're hearing is a small cluster, then it's of that 67 or 70. Sounds like a large cluster to me. And then another thing I was trying to get through for the longest time, if the bus crawl caused so much trouble, what about a transport robust packed to capacity, closed up because it has AC and not a window? I see that as a potential other bus crawl. So I think the numbers should be reduced as they were when we didn't have community spread. The numbers were reduced for some time. It was not full capacity.
You just have to, you've got to make a distinction, though, between...
But I know about the bus crawl and but just buses.
What people behave on a transport board bus and how they behave on a bus crawl after they've imbibed the alcohol and stuff, you know.
But apart from
it's
that...
The difference.
But apart from
and
that,
especially given some of the titles that are given to some of these bus crawls, you know from the outset what's going to happen.
But I'm just talking about the close proximity and for the period of time, because I know it went the bus crawl because I had never heard of a bus crawl before. It infected so many people, but just the proximity of the people on a bus sitting shoulder to shoulder, you don't know what the next person next to you has. So I think the numbers really need to be reduced, because if you don't do it, a conductor is not going to look back, a driver is not going to look back and say, too many people in this bus. You have people sitting next to you, you have people standing over you, and I think you should, at this time, while it's not under control, to reduce the numbers on the bus. But there was something else I wanted to say, but I was holding on so long that I can't remember. But everybody's saying...
We should revisit how we were behaving back in April.
When it wasn't spring.
When we had lockdown.
Right.
What are the things that we were told to do? And make a comparison between how we were living then and how we are living now. For me, the numbers matter. They have always mattered in dealing with COVID. When you have few numbers, you can be far more liberal. The more numbers you have, the greater the restrictions that have to be imposed. And I think a major part of this has got to be to encourage Barbadians to essentially let common sense prevail. Sometimes we sit down here waiting for the government to do everything. So you have to wait for the government to tell you to do this and to tell you to do that. And then you want to rebel about too much government and that sort of thing. But right now, we have been through this long enough as individuals to have a pretty good idea of what is absolutely necessary in light of the numbers of over 800 people having tested positive for COVID now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
All right. Thank you very much, ma'am.
And thank you for taking my call. Have a good day.
Oh, you do.